a gentleman who made quite a bit of news this week with his interview with former and, who knows, potentially future President Donald Trump. That is the co-anchor of Fox & Friends, New York Times best-selling author, and a nationally syndicated radio talk show host who keeps adding affiliates, the one and only Brian Kilmeade. Good morning, Brian.
What's happening?
Quite a bit. I don't even know where to begin. Why don't we begin with your Trump interview? You made quite a bit of news with his comments on the Middle East. If people didn't hear it, here's a little bit of what President Trump said regarding Israel and their treatment, their handling of Hamas.
You've got to finish the problem. You had a horrible invasion. It took place. It would have never happened if I was president.
There was a lot of criticism of Trump before the interview that up until this point, he hasn't really given his full-throated view of what he would do in office. You really did kind of nail him down there, Brian. What'd you think of President Trump's responses during the interview?
Well, thanks for pointing that out. I mean, the other things, you know, about Nikki Haley, that got a lot of traction. But I actually thought, Frank, you and I think alike, that that was the biggest news. Because,
no doubt.
Yeah, because, I get it. It doesn't help the Trump people to come out and say, hey, you know the problem you have with Joe Biden? He's being too tough on Hamas.
Right.
He's allowing Israel to be too tough on Hamas. So if Trump comes out and says, I'd be tougher, that, you know, that only makes people say, well, we might as well stick with the horse we got because the next guy is going to be tougher. I want everyone to be tougher. I want Israel to finish the job. I know they're not trying to kill civilians. I know they're dropping flyers, text messages, calling landlines. I know they're providing corridors. Maybe they could do a little bit more. I'm not sure, but it's around the edges. And I do feel bad for people that are innocent, just like I feel bad for some people in Afghanistan because their leadership allowed them to house al-Qaeda. But then you find out about the Taliban and the worst people on earth, and they're back in power. But I also feel bad for innocent Germans in World War II. I'm sorry, Hitler was running the country, running the world, and wanted to finish off us along with Japan. You have an objective. Every time we try to hold back and fight a sanitary war when the other guys are brutal terrorists, we don't get the result we want. Israel has no choice. Go thousands of miles away, they go a dozen miles away. And now on Hezbollah, I don't know how they leave Hezbollah in power. They backed 150 miles off out of their very tiny country, the size of New Jersey. And now they got 150 miles off the border. How long can they do that? Hezbollah is just sending in rockets. Yet Israel knows we're on a war footing now. It's only going to be worse in 5 years. So what is Joe Biden going to say about that? Evidently, he's holding him back. So he, I think, is doing the worst. He is trying to split the difference between a premature ceasefire and, with words more than action, backing Israel.
At this point, you have Dean Phillips dropping out of the Democratic race. He didn't leave much of an impact. You have Nikki Haley dropping out of the Republican race. She won Vermont and Washington, D.C. So at this point, it does look like we are heading towards a 2020 rematch, unless there's some change, you know, between now and the convention. Where do you see the general election at this point, Brian? A lot of the polling that's been released seems to favor Trump in a lot of the battleground states, including the ones Biden won the last time around. A lot of folks are looking at these candidates who do have high negatives, and even their supporters acknowledge that, and they're saying, I can't believe we're in for a rematch like this again.
Yeah.
And it's sparking some interest towards who the No Labels candidate is going to be if they nominate anyone. What are you hearing on that front, and what are your thoughts on the general election in general?
I think they're going to go after Sinema. And I don't think she's done. I actually like, and people go crazy on this, I don't mind that Susan Collins and Murkowski and Romney and Manchin and Sinema aren't rubber stamps for their party. I kind of like when
me
they
too.
Push it. They made
absolutely.
It better.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So just because I know people get frustrated with Susan Collins, but she represents a moderate state. And that they most likely, when she's done, will put a Democrat in there. So we say the same thing every day. Don't people understand how our system works? But I don't think it's great news that Sinema's gone. I thought Martha McSally was going to be better, you know, first fighter pilot, women, you know, she has all this, but she kept losing to Sinema. She lost twice. So then when she got to Sinema, went in there and goes, yeah, I'm not going along with this 52 states. I'm not going along with this ridiculous spending package. I'm not going along with getting rid of the filibuster. That took guts. And then she goes, yeah, I'm not going to own the Democratic Party. I'm going to be an independent, which pretty much sealed her fate, because without the machine behind you, you lose to Gallego and Carrie Lake becomes the senator. So she actually hurt Carrie Lake in stepping aside. So I think if they go for Sinema, I think she'd do it. I don't think she has the charisma and the presence of Manchin. I think Manchin has got a little bit more conversational, better on camera. Not sure either one would win. RFK's a factor, Frank. He's going to do the – we talked about this. Mm. He's going to do the libertarian thing. That means he's on 50 states immediately, and he'll be the most formidable third-party candidate, I guess, since Ross Perot.
Sure. I think it's very interesting to see where that goes.
With crime running rampant in New York, you need to keep yourself and your family safe. Obtaining your concealed carry firearm licenses can be difficult and time-consuming. That's where MyFirstPistol.com comes in. They'll help you secure your concealed carry license. If you're looking for a pistol, premise, rifle, or shotgun license, call 347-559-7052. 347-559-7052. You must have a valid firearm license issued by the NYPD to purchase, possess, or shoot a handgun or pistol in NYC.
Hey, what are you expecting from President Biden in the State of the Union tonight?
Can I just say one thing? I know it's going to make news, but I think people got to behave themselves. If you want to make this thing like a rally, like Britain, what they do all the time, where you scream at the prime minister and he stands up and he yells back, and you know, that's really not our system. You know, Joe Wilson yelling out, "You lie." Made a lot of news. I like Joe Wilson, but that to me is not how you act. I want to see some civility. Now, I know I'm in the minority in that. I don't want to see people yelling back at Joe Biden. Do it with the rebuttal. I just think, you know, you wear a tie in the Oval Office, you do things like that. So, number one, he's going to say infrastructure. Number two, he's going to say, I believe he's going to offer a few executive orders at the border. He's going to look to vilify Donald Trump. At that moment, specifically, I hear he's going to talk about drug prices. Also, he's going to talk about shrinkflation, this idiotic move with the cookie monster for a guy that's already people questioning his credibility is absolutely insane. I don't know if you've heard it or you want to play it, but he's going to talk about this stuff. And, you know, it's going to be a 30-minute speech and people are going to look to see how he does in his last 15 minutes. But what I think Bernie Sanders, again, has better political instincts, evidently met with Joe Biden for about an hour and basically said to him, you got to stop telling people the economy is good. They don't think it's good. You got to stop telling people that crime is down. They don't think it's down. You know, you got to stop talking. You got to start talking about things you did, like drug prices, because evidently I'm not on insulin, but evidently he put a cap on it, which is a good thing. So he's going to talk about that.
Well, I think that's very astute on Bernie Sanders' part. Who are you going to believe, you know, me or your lying eyes, right? And that's going to be interesting. I completely agree with you on people behaving civilly. I thought it was a real shame last year. A lot of the Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boberts and probably about a dozen members of Congress jeering like this was Parliament. And I said so at the time. And I was raked over the coals by a lot of people that feel... No, that's what you have to do. I'm with
well,
you
know, Sid's
going to
feel differently.
Well,
you know, Sid's going to feel differently.
Yeah.
So we got to talk to Sid.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, Frank, I know we like to broaden it out and talk about the nation, but do you believe what's going on in Babylon? They find body parts all scattered through a beautiful park. They find the people that did it and they let them out with ankle bracelets.
It's amazing.
Body parts.
It is absolutely.
Hacksaws. What the hell?
It's absolutely amazing. I just hope you have an alibi for whenever those remains are identified, you know, and where you were at the time. You are on air 6 hours a day, so it won't be difficult to find you. Find that you were somewhere else at the time that those murders were committed. But
yeah, I'm not a suspect. I would tell you because I'd give you the story, Frank, because you're the only one who calls me every Thursday.
Thank you. Brian, the Republican response is going to be led by Senator Katie Britt. Mark Halperin was probably the first person I heard say that this would be a pretty good running mate for Trump. I have to think she would be a good running mate for Trump, and Trump himself mentioned her recently. What are you expecting from Katie Britt? Do you think this is kind of, in some ways, an audition for her to introduce herself to a national audience that may not be familiar with her?
Wow. You know, I like her. I met her a couple of times. So when she came in, she was standing a half hour doing on our book tour. She was, when she was thinking about running and there was four people in the race, I remember she was walking in. I asked her, wow, she was on my floor. And I go, what are you doing? She goes, I'm going to meet with Dana Perino. We used to work together. And I just want to get her advice because even though she was in fourth at the time, she says, I really think I can win. I said, wow. So she's open to coaching. And you meet her, she's always asking questions. She's in it for the right reasons. But I think you need somebody that knows Trump better. And I think you have enough people to understand him. For example, and I think we used this before, you got a coach, a head coach that's got a volcanic temper. The best thing you can do is have an assistant coach that played for him or knows him. So when that coach blows up at halftime, the other guy comes in and says, guys, coach's a little hot right now, but you don't understand his point. His point is we got to start moving the ball around. You got to start hustling. And there's no excuse for moving without the ball, whatever it is. So I think you need the Mike Pence-type figure that understands him, will never turn on him, but understands him, and also is committed. That's why I believe Elise Stefanik should be a leading contender. Tim Scott should be a leading contender. And get this. I know he's got Robert O'Brien, and John Radcliffe. These are two adults that he really respects that could look the president in the eye and say, Mr. President, I just saw the Truth Social thing you put out. You got to take that down. Or, that's what you need. And I think Katie Britt's got so much talent and runway. I think that she's an advocate in the Senate for him, but give her 4 years. Just like I think that Governor Huckabee now, Sarah Huckabee, will one day be president. I just don't think yet. I think you got to go do more.
They have Ben Carson on a lot of people's short list to be vice president now, apparently. I know
it's a mistake.
I know you have Governor Kristi Noem on the radio today. I'm looking forward to hearing that interview. She's been talked about as a vice president from time to time. Does she add what you think is needed to a Trump ticket?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, she hits a lot. She's extremely confident. You know, she did grow up in rural America. That's not a joke. She does know how to run a state. She does not doesn't mind staring down the opposing party, taking them on, whether the vaccines on down. I think she understands. Evidently, her dad was extremely, in her book, she writes how her dad was extremely demanding on her and tough, and she was not intimidated by him. I don't think, as much as she respects Trump, I don't think she's going to be intimidated by him. And she's got a lot of the qualities. So I look forward to talking to her today. You know, Trump really has galvanized his party in a way I didn't think was possible. I mean, you saw what happened yesterday. Mitch McConnell stepped in line. Senator Joni Ernst stepped in line. And you watch these people lose their minds on the other channel. It's not Liz Cheney and thousands behind her and Trump on the respirator. It is, who's Liz Cheney? Who is Adam Kinzinger? You know, who's John Bolton? And the party is more behind Trump than they were behind Bush, Romney, and John McCain.
On that note, Brian, we're going to have to end it there. Listen to Brian's interview with Kristi Noem coming up on radio. He's also got a full show on Fox and Friends as well. And you can check him out on One Nation with Brian Kilmeade on Saturday night. And to our listeners in Nevada listening on KDAWN, he's coming your way next month in Henderson, Nevada, April 27th. You can get your tickets at BrianKilmeade.com. Thanks, Brian.
You're the best, Frank.